Still our restless souls, O Lord, and bring peace into this place, peace into our hearts, and joy to our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1964, I had the misfortune of being in a flood. Actually, my good fortune was that my house was situated on a hill overlooking the Platte River Valley that ran through the city of Denver from one end to the other. Perhaps you're familiar. Late in an afternoon, the police from the city announced that our area was being evacuated because a wall of water was descending upon the city. The wonderment was that there had been no storm in the city. The sky was blue, the clouds were lovely, everything looked normal. The storms had taken place above the city in the mountains, and the storms had been very severe. Great rains had fallen and filled the valleys to overflowing. So my family and I spent a night in the church basement. When we were allowed to return, we came upon a surrealistic picture. Our house was left untouched by the water. But three blocks below me, all the houses were washed away, including two homes of classmates of mine, Danny and John. And then a few blocks beyond that, completely surrounded by blocks and blocks of deep water, the Sears and Roebuck Midwest Distribution Center was ablaze from the second floor to the fourth floor. And the entire first floor was completely underwater. It was one of the most ironic pictures I ever thought of seeing in my life. This huge building engulfed in flame, all this water, nothing could be done. It burned to the water level, say to the ground, but it didn't make it that far. Even though I did not experience the raging storm, this storm created a wall of almost 36 feet of water that ravaged the city from one end to the other. It cut a wake of destruction. Even though I did not experience the storm, I did experience in a graphic way what a raging storm can do. Jesus asked his disciples to go across the sea to the other side. The master was pooped out from days of working in ministry, and he wanted some time free. And so he asked them to row out across the Sea of Galilee, Sea of Tiberias. At first, the journey was perhaps peaceful. And then the gospel tells us that a storm arose. So it came from nothing into a raging, raging tempest. At least four of the disciples in that boat were fishermen, and so they knew what kind of a tempest the Sea of Galilee could give up when it was ready to do something like that. It would quickly escalate into something that would be perhaps very deadly. I don't think that there are many miracles of Jesus Christ that are more instructive to us than this particular miracle, each of their own, but this one has a lot of wonderful instructions for you and me as we sit in this sacred place on this morning. The disciples were following Jesus' instruction, being very faithful to his word and responding to his request, serving their master with devotion and love. They piled into the boat and they began to row. But they were captive in this wooden boat, and then not long after, they were captive in a raging sea, and they were in danger of drowning, all of them. What do we see here? The disciples of Jesus Christ will not be exempt from a storm. And by disciples, I don't mean the ones in the boat. I mean you and I who sit here in this sacred place and those around us who sit in sacred places like this one. We will not be exempt from the storms of life. Our life as Christians and our journey in the faith will not be strictly smooth sailing. You know this, don't you? Each of us can bear testimony to the times in our lives when we have been tossed back and forth in the rages of some human experience that would seem to overwhelm us and fill our boat to the point of sinking, to the point of drowning. It could have been sickness or grief or loss or rejection, marginalization or judgmentalism or disappointments that overwhelm us. You name it, each one of us could say something within our lives to one degree or another that has been a storm that sought to overcome us. These are the storms that rise up, often without warning, that seek to undo us. A storm is raging in our country. Just this last week, we have seen once again a storm rage without warning amongst us. In Charleston, faithful Christian people assembled to prepare their hearts and minds for the love of God in the peace of their church, attacked and murdered. And yet, in the midst of that, we are learning from them. In the midst of their death, in the midst of that heartache, in the midst of that raging storm of violence, we are learning from them. We are learning forgiveness. In the context of our gun culture, we are learning from them. About a week ago, I had the opportunity to sit with about 13 or 14 people around a table deliberating how we might plan a program to help the city of Minneapolis become aware of what gun violence is doing to us and the storm that rages around us. There were 14 or so people there. Of those 14, only two of them had not experienced a murder in their own family. One had lost a daughter, one a father, one a spouse, one a cousin, and in my case, I had a student who was murdered and a student who was a murderer. The storm rages on and on, and there is a call from inside of this raging storm to the body of Christ asleep in the stern. And that would be you and me. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are the body of Christ present in this place. And there is a call going out to us from this raging environment, this raging culture, this raging storm in many and a variety of ways. But this one in particular is vivid for us today. Do you not care? Do you not care that we are suffering? Do you not care that we may be dying? Do you not care that the storm is swamping our boat of human existence? Do you not care that we are being undone? But Jesus rose, and he took care of it. I haven't been on the Sea of Galilee. I haven't had the privilege. But I am told that because of its shallow depth and its wide expanses, that raging storms are quick to come to the sea, and they can start out kind of peacefully, but before long they are a squall to be reckoned with. But you know what? Jesus did not promise us that our lives would be free from affliction. He did not give us that promise. He did promise us, however, his constant presence. He promised us the power of his resourceful love. He promised us the victory over death, which he won for us and demonstrated to us, and we celebrate it again and again in our Easter experience. So regardless of what the circumstances of storm that may be raging around us, our Lord Jesus Christ is present with us. He did not promise us that we will be freely, he did promise us that we would be freely forgiven. He did not promise us that we would be free from any kind of evil. He did not promise us that the world would not inflict itself upon us and cause us chaos and uncertainty, but He did promise us that our forgiveness of our sins and His grace and our sharing in His victory will bring us to the other side. He did promise us that He would never leave us and He would never forsake us. He did promise us that He would be with us until the very end. He did promise us that He would be the sojourner on our pathway and that He would bring us with great joy to the end. We are not abandoned in the ill effects of life's storms. We are in the midst of a storm with the sojourner that is with us, Jesus Christ, just like the disciples in that boat that day. The storm began. The waves grew to the point of sweeping over the sides of the boat. It seemed that the boat would sink and the disciples and Christ would be gone. The sea would claim them. Jesus, utterly fatigued after His ministry, was asleep in the far reaches of the boat, the stern. The disciples came to Jesus full of a frightful wonderment. Why can He sleep? How can He sleep when the storm is raging around Him? What is it that allows Him to sleep? And yet He lay there, sound asleep. The disciples knew that if He would just wake up, He would see what was going on. If He would just wake up, He would understand what was taking place. If He would just wake up, He could do something about it. And His sleeping giant, which is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ in the world today, must wake up. It is time to do something about the raging storm. We cannot put off till tomorrow what must be done today to quell the storm. To do something about it, our Lord Jesus has the power to do something about it, and we do too. He met the impossible with one word, two words actually, be still. Now wouldn't you have loved to have been in the boat at that time? Wouldn't you have loved to experience that particular very simple, very real possibility with just two words, be still? And He says that to you and to me today. Don't let the raging storm overwhelm you. Be still. Don't let the raging storm encompass you and frighten you and cause you to despair. Be still. The wind and the waves obeyed Him. Scripture tells us that with Christ there is nothing that is impossible. We can do all things through the Lord Jesus Christ who strengthens us. We need never despair. We need only trust. You are right in thinking that this does not mean that the storms will not come. They will happen. They will happen today perhaps, or tomorrow, or sometime in the future. Some kind of a human experience will take place in your life and my life that will be the test of our trust, our confidence in Jesus. But bear in mind also, it is His strength that is sufficient for the day. One of the pastors in Charleston last week, I heard him speaking on the TV, and he said, you know what? He said, Satan tried to get us, but he did not. Anger and hatred tried to overcome us, but it will not. This young man challenged us with his actions of hatred, but he is not the victor. We are the victor. And you know that members of the families of these people stepped into forgiveness. And this proclamation of forgiveness under the empowerment and the grace and the mercy of Christ was present there. And it is an illustration for us how the disciples came to Jesus, bothered Him in His sleep, and said, wake up, Master. Things are not good. We need Your presence. And we need Your forgiveness. Satan will not overcome. One of the last lessons of this raging sea is that even though the disciples might have been wanting in their faith, even though they might have been nearing despair in their understanding of life at the time, even though they may have been giving way to their fear, Christ, when He woke up, was exceedingly patient with them. He didn't scold them. He didn't rebuke them. He simply said, your question is kind of ridiculous. Do you not care if we perish? Of course I care. I care so much that I will march myself to the cross and to the empty tomb for you. I care that much. I will give my life for you. That is how I care. And so Jesus dealt with them gently and graciously. His response was, why are you afraid? Just believe. Now that may be easier said than done, but it is the Master's voice. Why are you afraid? What do you fear? Just believe. I am so grateful that Jesus knows the defects of my faith. I am so grateful that He is mindful of my weaknesses. I am so grateful that my Jesus is fully aware of the shortcomings that I experience in my life, and they have been many. Yet He loves me. He is patient with me. He lifts me up when I fall. He guides me when I falter. He stills the storms of my experience. He empowers me to believe, and He does help me arrive on the other side safe. Amen.